الحمد لله وكفى سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واذا طلقتم النساء فبلغن اجلهن فلا تدعوا فلا تعضلوهن ان ينكحن ازواجهن سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد المبارك وسلم. The last one that we had was about which ayah of the Quran? Hmm? 231. No, it was not about 231. It was a lecture about how men and women are different in nature. So that was a lecture. And the lecture actually led to a breakage in the succession of the ayahs that we're doing. So these ayahs of the Quran that we are doing are ayahs about divorce, about talaq. And because we had a lecture and we have this lecture almost every month, the succession is broken because of the lecture. Because the lecture is not part of the tafsir, it is just a lecture. And this is tafsir, of course. So we have like four or five Saturdays, and one of those Saturdays is a lecture, and then the other four is tafsir. And when you have this lecture, then the succession is broken. So now, this ayah, as you see, is an ayah about divorce, and the ayahs previously were also ayahs about divorce. And for those who are new, the ayahs about divorce in Suratul Baqarah are more than maybe 10, 12, 15 actually. So we are going through those ayahs of the Quran. So there are different types of divorces. And there are two very important ones. And those two you need to know to understand the tafsir of these ayahs. So what are those two types of divorces? Ji, Muhammad, are you married? No. So you don't know what divorce is. Do you know what divorce is? What is divorce? What is talaq? Do you know? No. Do you know what is marriage? What is marriage? A man and a woman being together to spend their lives together. It's a best jawab. Very good. Under the contract of nikah, right? That's beautiful. I was not expecting the answer actually. A man and a woman being together. What class do you go to?
Class 5.
Class 5. Class 5 to pata chali jata hai mujhe. Haan ji. Talaq. How many types of talaqs are there? Two. What types of talaq?
Raj'i and
ba'in. What is talaq e raj'i? Given one by one. Talaq e raj'i comes from the word ruju. Ruju means coming back. So it means that this is a type of talaq in which you can actually go back to your wife even after giving talaq. And that talaq is given only once. You give it once, you say talaq once, and that means you have divorced her, but you still have the option of 3 to 4 months. In those 3 to 4 months, she spends that waiting period, the iddat. And in that iddat, if you tell her, okay, I take you back, or if you do anything which shows that you are showing love towards her, for instance, you kiss her, or you hold her hands, or you just tell her that, you know, you come back to me, that means there is no need to get married again. And this is called talaq-e-raj'i. Although you have divorced her, you said to her talaq, but you said it only how many times? Once. So this is called talaq-e-raj'i, right? The talaq in which you do ruju. That is the right type of talaq. That is the talaq which the Sharia tells us that you should do. Then there is this other type of talaq, which is called talaqul ba'in, right? And the talaqul ba'in is that you give talaq at one go, you give it three times. Talaq, talaq, and talaq. So you do all three fires in one go, and the Shariat does not. The Shariat of Islam, the Deen of Islam, does not like this type of talaq. It is a talaq which is reprehensible. It is makruh talaq, right? So this is not, but this is again, when somebody does this, it is divorce, and it means that now when you've done this, now the wife cannot go back to the husband. There's no other possibility. The talaq al-raj'i is a possibility where the wife can actually, even after talaq, she has this period of 4 months. In that period of 4 months, if the husband does not give her two more talaqs, then she can actually come back to the husband. If the husband decides to bring her back, or if the husband shows some actions of love, even that would be considered as ruju, coming back. And if those 4 months pass, even then, she has the option, the husband has the option of bringing her back, but after that 4 months, she is free to marry somebody else. But if she has not married anybody else, and the husband wants to bring her back, now the only thing he has to do is, he has to perform this nikah with her again, and then she can again come back to the same husband. So it is in the benefit of the husband and the wife and the family and the social system that the talaq is given only once. And that is talaq al-raj'i. And the Deen of Islam also likes the talaq al-raj'i. And when the talaq is mentioned here, then Allah Ta'ala is saying, وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ, when you give divorce to your wives, this talaq and this divorce is also talaq al-raj'i. The meaning here is of the talaq in which the husband can actually bring the wife back. So this is what the talaq here means. So there are two types of talaq. Now if you look at the ayah, we will go into the translation and the tafsir of the ayah which we will be doing today. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ, and when you give talaq, when you divorce your wives, فَبَلَغْنَا أَجَلَهُنَّ, and they reach the ending period of their waiting time, right? There's a waiting time of how many months? 4 months, right? So after that talaq rajai, and she reaches that end period, فَلَا تَعْدُلُوهُنَّ, don't stop her. أَيَّنْكِحْنَا أَزْوَاجُهُنَّ, if she wants to marry husbands, other husband, somebody else, إِذَا قَرَاضَوْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, if both that wife and her other husband are happy in a fair way. So in this ayah of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala is mentioning this order of the Quran. That sometimes what happens is, the husband is upset with the wife, and he gives her talaq, he divorces her, and he gives her talaq al-raj'i. And he does not do rujoo in that 4 months. And everybody understands what that rujoo means, right? That she comes back to the husband, and he does not do that. And it is now 4 months, now she is free to marry, right? Now even if the husband wants to bring her back, he has to do nikah with her. And the nikah can only be done if she has the consent. If she consents, then only the nikah can happen. So now if she wants to marry somebody else, then Allah Ta'ala is saying, don't stop her. Now you don't have, your chance is gone. It's been 4 months, right? And it's been 4 months, now you cannot marry her if she does not want to come back to you. If you want to marry her, she has to be happy in coming back to you. You will have to perform nikah, and then she comes back. And if she has somebody else in mind, and they are both happy in marrying each other, then you don't stop her. So sometimes this happens, right? Because of this honor that you feel, how dare she marry somebody else. So now the husband does not even like her, but he does not want that she marries somebody else. So Allah Ta'ala is stopping this. And this used to happen in the Arabs. That even though they will give talaq, but they would want that she does not marry somebody else. So Allah Ta'ala says that you don't stop her. Once you've given talaq, now she's out of bounds for you. She's free to marry whoever she wants to. So this is what the idea is. وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ, when you give her talaq, فَبَلَغْنَا أَجَلَهُنَّ, and the waiting period ends. And what is that waiting period? How many months is that? That's 4 months. If that 4 months is done, فَلَا تَعْدُلُوهُنَّ Don't stop her. أَيَّنْكِحْنَا أَزْوَاجُهُنَّ If she is marrying other husband, إِذَا تَرَادُ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ If they are happy with each other in a fair way. Now, sometimes the old husband stops her from marrying. Sometimes the family member stops her. The family member says that no, you cannot marry. It is not good to marry a second time. So the family members, they stop her. That is also not correct. And a certain situation, a similar situation arrives when these ayahs were revealed. A sahabi by the name of Ma'akal bin Yasar, and the Shaykh has written Yasir. So it's not Yasir, it is Yasar. So Ma'akal bin Yasar was a companion of the Prophet and he married off his sister to this other sahabi. And when the sister got married, after some time, that husband of her sister, he divorced her sister. So the sister came back to Ma'akal's house. And now, after those 4 months have passed, and he had given talaq rajai, only one talaq, right? And he felt that he had done something wrong, and he asked for forgiveness, and he said, I want to, you know, bring your sister back to my home, and I don't feel right without her, and all these things. And he comes to her, and Ma'akal says, how dare you come to me? I gave you such an honor, that I gave my sister's hand in your hand, and you divorced her. Now don't even come to my house. There is no way she goes back to your house. Now the sister herself was also very happy to go back to the husband. But Ma'akal is saying, no, you can't go. And then around the same time, Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu, this is a rather more popular sahabi, Jabir bin Abdullah. Jabir bin Abdullah, if you remember, is that same sahabi who invited Prophet during the Ghazwa of Khandaq. And the invitation was for only the Prophet ﷺ, and he only had a small goat that he cooked for the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ invited 1,000 sahabis, 1,000 companions, and they all ate from that, and they all ate very heavily, and they were very satiated and everything. And this was a very huge thing. So Jabir bin Abdullah is rather more popular among sahabas. So Jabir radhiyallahu anhu's cousins, his uncle's daughter was given in marriage to somebody to another sahabi, and the same thing happened. She went to his house and he divorced her, and she came back. And now, because that husband wanted her to come back, and he came to Jabir, and Jabir said, no way, my sister is not going to go back to your house. How dare you divorce her? And he became very upset. But at the same time, these ayahs of the Quran were revealed. وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ And when you give divorce to your wives, فَبَلَغْنَا أَجَلَهُنَّ And they reach their waiting periods, they reach the end of their waiting periods, فَلَا تَدُولُهُنَّ أَيَّنْكِحْنَا أَزْوَاجُهُنَّ Don't stop them from marrying their husbands. So it is either marrying new husbands or marrying back again the old husbands. So this was the order of the Quran. So both Ma'akal bin Yasar and Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, both of them told their sisters that, okay, now you can marry your husbands and you can go back. Because when the orders of the Quran used to come, the Sahaba used to just become very, very observant of all these commands of the Quran. So both these Sahabis, they told their sisters that they should marry the husbands who are offering to bring them back to their house. So then Allah Ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ يُعَذُ بِهِ مَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ This is an advice. ذَلِكَ يُعَذُ يُعَذُ comes from the word waaz. Waaz in Urdu is nasihat, lecture, right? Advice. So ذَلِكَ يُعَذُ This is an advice. بِهِ مَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ For the one who believes in Allah and in the Day of Judgment. So to fulfill the order of the Quran is a sign that the person believes in Allah and in the last day. Sometimes the order of the Quran is being read out and people don't take it as seriously as it should be taken. So that is a sign that there is a lack of iman. There is no strength of iman. There is a weakness of iman. So that is why Allah Ta'ala says, this is my order, that if the woman wants to go back to the house, they'll go back to her own husband, or if she wants to go back to another person, nobody should stop her if she is doing nikah. Nobody should stop her from marrying a second time. Even if you feel it is a taboo in the society, it is considered bad in the society, nobody should stop her. This is order of the Quran. And this is an order for the one who believes in Allah and the last day. And the reality is simple. That the one who believes in Allah, one who has strong iman, is going to do amal on the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why we cannot do amal on the commands of Allah? Is because of the lack of strength in the iman. The more strength you have in your iman, the more you will do amal on the obligations of the Quran. So that is why this is a very big lesson for us. That all these, whether it is this hukum or any other hukum, all these hukums of the Quran, the reason somebody is going to do more amal is because of more iman in his heart. Somebody is going to do less amal because of less iman in the heart. So there is a story of this man, a rich businessman in the Arabs, and that rich businessman had a wife and a very big house in one city. But his business was such that he used to travel to this other city, which was hundreds of kilometers away, and he used to spend 4 months, 4 to 5 months in that city. So every year, 4 to 5 months would be spent in another city. One or two times he went, and the third, fourth time he decided that because I'm here for 3-4 months, and I am alone, and I should get married. So I should have a wife here as well. But he thought that my first wife will get very upset if I tell her that I'm getting a second wife, right? So people think that in the old times, wife would not get upset at getting a second wife. No, it is the same thing. Even back in the days, wives would get upset. Even now, wives get upset if somebody marries a second time. So, but he decided that I'm going to marry, because he felt that if he does not marry, then he might end up committing sins. So he thought to himself that instead of committing a sin, and instead of doing fornication, I should just get married to somebody. So in this other city, and nobody knows what I do here, my wife would not even know, so let me just marry. So he married this one girl, or one woman, and now he was satisfied that he had wives in this one city that he spent 4 or 5 months, and this other city, which is his hometown, he has his own wife. But when he came back after marrying, the wife just felt that something is wrong. He's not the same. Right? And wives know how husbands are when they are not the same. Right? So when he got married in this other city, and when he came back to his own city, the wife found that there's something wrong. So she felt that maybe he has gotten married. So the wife knew this old lady, and she did mashwara. She consulted that lady. What do you think? My husband is acting differently this time. So the old lady said, okay, fine, I will travel to that city the next time your husband goes there, and I'll try to find out what he's doing. And that old lady, she went there, and she saw that the husband is actually mad. So she came back and she gave the news to the first wife, that your husband who goes to this other city has actually married somebody there, and that's what the case is. So she got very upset. She was very angry that he did not even tell me, and how dare he marry somebody else. And that means he doesn't love me, and all these things that women think. And she was right about a lot of things. But she was a person of intelligence. So she thought to herself that if I let him know that I know about this marriage, then it'll be out in the open. And he will openly show love and attention towards this woman. So instead of that, now he's afraid of me and he makes sure that I don't know. So he spends more time. Maybe if I tell him that I know about it, then he's going to try to spend equal time. So at least now I have more of his time, and I have, you know, access to more of his wealth, and I am the mother of his children and all these things. So she decided, I'm not going to tell him that I know about his second marriage. So this is what she did. It so happened after a couple of years, after a few years, the husband died. When the husband died, he left as his inheritance about 8 bags of gold and silver. And that was a lot of money. 8 bags of gold and some silver. And that 8 bags of gold was only for the wife. So it was more than that. After giving, you know, after distributing all the inheritance to the children, what was left for the wife was 8 bags of gold. Now, the wife took the 8 bags of gold, but then she remembered that nobody in this world knows, except for me and this old lady, that this man does not have only one wife. He has how many wives? He has 2 wives. That means these 8 bags of gold belong not only to me, but they also belong to the other wife. Actually, 4 bags belong to me, and that 4 bag full of gold belongs to that other woman. Now, this is what the reality was. This is what the Sharia says, that that 4 bags of gold belongs to this woman. If she had wanted, she could have just not thought about it, and she could have let it go, and she could have kept all 8 bags to herself. But she thought to herself that this does not belong to me, these 4 bags. These 4 bags of gold belong to that woman, although she does not know. And fulfilling the commands of Allah is a sign of Iman. So because this was a woman of Iman, she said, okay, fine. Because this does not belong to me, I am going to send these 4 bags to that woman. So she gave those 4 bags to, again, this old woman. And told that woman that you give this these 4 bags to this second wife and tell him that the husband has died. And this is his, her inheritance. And that was a very big step. That is a very big sign of Iman. That you do this. That you fulfill the obligation. Now this lady, this old woman, she traveled all the way to this other city. And she gave these 4 bags full of gold to this second wife. The second wife, when she heard that the husband has died, she cried. And she asked, what is this? And the old lady said, this is 4 bags full of gold. And she said, that I will tell you the reality, that the last time when I met the husband, he divorced me, so I am no longer his wife. These 4 bags actually belong to that first wife. So go back and send these, give these 4 bags to the first wife. So this is unbelievable show of Iman from both these women. So we are lacking this Iman in these days. Because if it was this present time, nobody would leave 4 bags of gold, huh? So the more you obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more it shows Iman in your heart. So same goes for this order of Allah. Allah ta'ala is telling these men who stop their wives to marry other men, or the family members who stop the wives, who stop their daughters of going back to their own husbands, Allah ta'ala says that this is an advice for the one who believes in Allah and the day of and the last day. And then Allah Ta'ala says, ذَلِكُمْ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ. And this is a source of purification for you. وَأَطْحَرُ. And it is a source of cleansing for you. So the more you obey the commands, the more your heart is purified. And there are many, many diseases of the heart. And those diseases, those spiritual diseases, are those diseases which let you not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stops you from obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the more you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more your heart is cleansed and purified from the diseases of the heart. A very big shaykh of his time, Shaykh al-Islam, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahimahullah ta'ala, was a big shaykh of his time, a very big scholar, and historically a very big shaykh. whatnot, and even the world is benefiting from him even now after 100 years since he has passed. He had many students. Some of them were his khalifas. Some of them were given this khilafat that you can carry on and you can make new students and you can teach other people. They were given this certification of teaching. And generally these khalifas are people who are purified. The shaykh thinks that now this person has purified his heart enough. He has obeyed the commands of Allah. And his heart is now attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the commands of Allah. So if such a situation arises, then the shaykh actually bestows this khilafat on his students. So among the shaykh's khulafa, there was a person. He was also a khalifa of the shaykh. And he was living in this other city. And he visited the shaykh. And when he came to the shaykh, he also brought two of his children. One was about 13, 14 years old. And the other one was about 10 years old, or maybe 8 years old. And when he came and he met with the shaykh, and he introduced his sons. The shaykh, these are my two sons. And the shaykh met with them. And the shaykh asked, how did you come from your city to our city? And this khalifa, he replied that I came using the train. So the shaykh said, okay. And how did you pay your fare? He said, I paid my full ticket. And my son, this younger son, he was less than 12 years of age. So his ticket was half. The older one who's 13, 14 years of age, he also looks less than 12. So because he looked less than 12, I also said that he's less than 12, so I also paid half fare for him as well. And as soon as the shaykh heard this, the shaykh said, okay, the khilafat that I have given to you, I take my khilafat back from you. And this khalifa, he was surprised. He said, shaykh, why? What did I do? Where did I go wrong? And he said that this khilafat is actually a certification of pureness of the heart, cleanliness of the heart. If you lied, and because your son was looking like 13, 14 years of age, and this train master did not charge full fare, you should have told the train master that my son is not less than 12, he's more than 12, and you should have paid the exact amount. So because you have not fulfilled this command, you have lied, and lying is a very big disobedience, it means that you don't have the certification of purification. So I take my khilafat back, you're not worthy of this mansab, of this status. And the shaykh took the khilafat back. So that means, these fulfilling the commands of Allah actually leads to the purification of the heart. So Allah Ta'ala says that when the husband actually does not stop the wife from marrying again, this is azkalakum, it is for his purification. It is a sign of iman, it is a sign of internal purification, it is a sign that he truly is a pious man. And if he's a person who prays 5 times a day and he prays tahajjud and he does all these tasbihahs and he fasts in the month of Ramadan and he fasts even in other months, but he does not fulfill these commands, these subtle commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means the piety has still not reached his heart. So when you fulfill all the commands of Allah, that means that this person is pious. So that is why there was this one companion of Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu was the Amirul Mu'mineen, and one of his companions, one of his people in his court, came to Umar radiallahu anhu and said, "Oh Umar radiallahu anhu, you know this one man, he is a very beautiful man, he's the best man, and I think he is, you know, he's a person of integrity and all these things." And he praised that man with beautiful words. So Umar radiallahu anhu asked a question, that you are praising this man, have you ever traveled with him? So this man said, no, I've never traveled with him. Have you ever done any transactions with him? Business or any other legal transactions with him? He said, no, I haven't done any of those. Then Umar radiallahu anhu, then you don't know in reality if he's a pious man or not. You cannot say if a person is pious just by looking at his outward appearance, or if he is just praying 5 times a day. Piety has to do with this internal thing, this heart, when the heart actually is ready to accept all the commands of Allah. Now it means that the piety has reached the heart. That is why in another ayah of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. That the pious, you will not attain, and it is not you will not attain, you will never, 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 this is what it means actually, if you do the literal translation, you will never, never, never attain piety until you spend that which you love. So again, this is a subtle command of Allah that you have to spend in the path of Allah. And even if you're praying 5 times a day, and you're reading tasbihs, and you're fasting, and you're doing muraqabat, and you're doing tilawat of Quran, but Allah Ta'ala says, no, no, no. If you don't have this heart who's ready to spend, and is ready to obey this command that you have to give zakat, and you have to give sadaqah. If the heart is not willing to do this, that means the piety has not reached your heart yet. So piety is not only outward thing. It is a situation in which the heart is ready to accept all the commands of Allah SWT. So when sometimes people just pray 5 times a day, but then they're doing all these other wrong things, it means piety has not reached the heart yet. So Allah Ta'ala says, when you accept this command of Allah, ذَلِكَ أَزْغَالَكُمْ, it is a source of purification for you, وَأَطْهَرُ, and it is a source of cleaning for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُ, and Allah knows and you don't know. And why did Allah Ta'ala say this? That maybe you don't want your wife that you've divorced, that she marries somebody else, so you will try to stop her, but this is wrong. You don't know how wrong this is, you don't know, but Allah knows. So sometimes a person thinks that this is good for me, and in reality, that thing is not good for you. You will not realize that this is something which is wrong, but Allah Ta'ala knows. This is just a sign, just in the same way that young kids, they're always, you know, crying that they want to eat ice cream. The mother knows that if he eats ice cream, he's going to get sick, he's going to get flu. So he's not understanding that the ice cream is going to create a lot of trouble, but the mother knows. In the same way, sometimes you want something and you're making even du'as to Allah SWT, oh Allah, I want this. But that thing that you're asking for, you don't know if it is good for you or if it is not good for you. Young men sometimes they want to marry a certain girl and they are making huge amounts of du'as, oh Allah. I know this young man who even did itikaf, that oh Allah, I will do itikaf if I get married to this girl, right? So sometimes. And sometimes what the du'as they're making are not accepted by Allah SWT. And they don't get married. But the reality is that they don't know how big a trouble they might be getting into. Allah Ta'ala knows. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُ. And not only this, in another ayah of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala explains this. Allah Ta'ala says, أَسَاءً تَقْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ. Sometimes there are things that you dislike, but there is good for you in those things. أَسَاءً تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. And sometimes you love something, but there is shar for you in those things. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, Allah Ta'ala knows and you don't know. For example, a lot of people, they are afraid of dying. They don't like death, right? A lot of people say that, no, don't even mention death. A lot of women are afraid of even mentioning the word death, right? And the Prophet ﷺ has said, تُحْفَةُ الْمُؤْمِنَ الْمَوْتِ. Death is a gift for the mu'min. Why? Because the life after death for the real mu'min is going to be much, much, much better than this life. So this death is a gift for him. So maybe we are thinking that this is something which is disliked. But in reality, the Prophet ﷺ said, there's a lot of good in it. So sometimes there will be things that you don't like, but there is good in it. People don't like to spend, people don't like to give sadaqah. But the Prophet ﷺ said, giving sadaqah actually removes very, very big difficulties that were going towards you. Sadaqah removes huge difficulties, and sadaqah actually protects you from a very bad death. What is a very bad death? A bad death is a death in which at the time of death you don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are engrossed in other things. So people think that if I spend and I give sadaqah, I will lose money and I will not have enough to spend for myself. But the Prophet has said, it is something which is very good for you. So there are things that we think that are bad for us, but we don't know in reality if it is good or bad for you. Allah Ta'ala knows. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُ. The last thing, when somebody realizes this last part of this ayah, if you digest this ayah, why do I use this word digest? It means that if this ayah becomes a part of your being, this last part of the ayah, that Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamu. If only we do amal on this ayah, this life becomes very easy. That Allah knows and I don't know. When somebody realizes this, that Allah knows and I don't know, then whatever he has, whatever Allah has ordained for him, he becomes happy with that. So he does not become ungrateful. He's happy with whatever Allah has given him. And that is a sign that Allah is happy with him. So I will say my last words, and those last words are the words of Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam's nation, the qawm of Musa, they asked this question to Musa alayhi salam. Oh Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, how do we know that Allah is happy with us? How do we know that Allah is happy with us? So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he went to the Tur. And he asked the same question, oh Allah, my people are asking me, how would they know that you are happy with them? And Allah Ta'ala answered that, oh my dear Musa, tell your people, if they are happy with what I have ordained for them, if they are happy with me in their own hearts, then this is a sign that I am also happy. When somebody is not happy with his life, when somebody is not happy with what Allah has given him, then that means Allah is also not happy. When somebody is happy and he's doing shukr of Allah all the time, and he's happy with what he has, that means Allah is also happy with him. Because Allah Ta'ala knows, فَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, and you don't know. So this is where we will come and stop this class. I will do the translation one more time. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ, and when you divorce your wives, فَبَلَغْنَا أَجَلَهُنَّ, and they reach the end of their waiting periods, فَلَا تَعْذُلُوهُنَّ أَن يَنْكِحْنَا أَزْوَاجُهُنَّ, then don't stop them from marrying their husbands. إِذَا قَرَاضَوْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, if they are happy with each other in a fair way, ذَلِكَ يُعَذُ بِهِ مَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ, and this is an advice for the one, يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, this is an advice for the one who believes in Allah and the last day. ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ, this is a source of purification for you. وَأَطْهَرُ, and a source of cleansing for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, Allah knows and you don't. So we'll stop here and end our class here. If there are any questions, you can take questions as well. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.